So that's the way I got in the wood bin. In the fall of the year, they would start coming to see me or calling me or see me on the road or somewhere. And everybody wanted me to bring him a cord of wood. I cut wood and hauled it from here to Lufkin for $6 a cord. But the trouble, I could cut 2 and 3 cords a day. I could cut 5 or 6 loads a day and haul it to Lufkin.
Tell what the price is now.
Huh?
Tell what the price is now.
Well, I stayed with it till he got to $65 and I quit. In 80, I believe I cut in 1980. I cut it for $65 a cord and I still had all the wood I could cut. Now it's $80 a cord and I could still be cutting wood if I wanted to cut wood. They would still call me in preference to somebody else because always give them good measure. I cut the wood like they wanted. If they wanted 2 foot wood, I cut 2 foot wood. If they wanted longer wood, I cut them longer wood, 30 inches. Now you get 16, that's all they'll cut. They don't cut it with just one length, 16 inch wood. And I give them 128 cubic feet for a cord. Now they don't get that much. They get 96 cubic feet for a cord. When they get 16 inch wood, they give them 2 8-foot rigs, and it's supposed to be 3 8-foot rigs if they're going to cut 16 inch wood, but they won't do that. They give 2 8-foot rigs, or one rig 4 feet high, 16 feet long, gives them 96 feet of cubic feet. And whenever they bought it from me, I give them 128 feet for a cord. You see where I got all the wood to cut?
Why?
Because I give them more wood. They get more wood when they buy from me. But that made the difference. But these young people now, people that cut it, they can't see it that way. And right now they're charging too much for it, $80 a cord. That's too much. That's $15 too much. Well, I don't care. That ain't worrying me. That's what I'm telling the truth about it. And that's why everybody can't cut wood, because nobody wants them. They don't want to be shortchanged. And they don't want just anybody to cut their wood. And that's why I'm cutting. That's why I can still cut all the wood. If I was able to cut, I could get all the wood cut and I wanted. But I was fair about it. And that's the reason I always cut logs. I was a log cutter. And I cut the logs to where they could mill the logs and make money out of the timber, the lumber. I grade cut them all the way. And of course, you don't know anything about grade cutting or anything. But when you cut a tree that's got limbs up here 30 feet on it, and it's clear down here, well, you cut it off right at 30 feet, and then you cut the next logs with knots on the upper, because that makes a lower grade of lumber. That's what you call grade cutting lumber. Well, the most of people, if they was cutting, they didn't pay any attention to knot. They might run a 20-foot log here and it back 6 foot and then have 3 or 4 big knots. But through all that lumber, back number 2 was in that log. It'd be number 2 if they didn't cut that off and throw it away. But you see the difference? Mm-hmm. It's a difference. They'd get number 1 lumber, they would get back then they'd get $90 and $100 a thousand for it. And number 2 lumber would get $50. They'd get about half price. And that's the reason I could always get a job cutting logs in it for any mill. Because I would grade cut it. And that made the difference. You have to know your trees to do that. You got to know what a tree looks like when you go inside it. When you're cutting them boards off, you got to know how to grade it. You got to know how to grade lumber. You got to know all. It's a lot of things to log cutting besides just going out there and cutting a tree down and going and cut the top out. Of course, that's all it is to it now because they do all the grade cutting at the mill. But whenever we was cutting the real length for the logs to make the lumber. If you could get a 16-foot log and make number 1 stuff, Well, why cut a 20 and make number two out of all of them? You see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't take that long to get to the head man at the mill, and he could see what was happening. Well, they wanted me to cut all the logs. I could cut all the logs I wanted to cut every. I cut all the time. Well, a lot of them couldn't hardly get a job cutting. Well, I could just go see them and go to work the next day. I didn't have no trouble getting a job. It would make, that makes the difference right there. I cut logs for 40 cents a thousand for one whole summer and winter till the mill cut out there at Alder Branch, Bernadette County, Prince Lumber Company. I cut for 40 cents a thousand. Most of the fella, well, there was four saws cutting out there, and I went down to see the old man about cutting him some logs. I had cut a few logs before then. I was 16 then. I had been cutting logs 2 or 3 years long, scattered along, you know. Went down one Sunday morning to see him, and there we were. He's sitting down under a tree spiling a saw out in his yard. Asking about a job. I knew they needed some men. And I was about the color of that right there. I'd been having chills and fevers, on starvation. He looked at me and he said, "Son, you can't cut no log. I weighed 160 pounds, you know." He said, "You can't cut no log." Said, you just don't know how." I said, "Well, I tell you what. I'd been out there where they logs, cutting logs, you know, and I knew what they were doing out there. I knew the fella was cutting for them. And I said, if I don't cut as many as some of them fellas, I said, you don't owe me nothing. I'll just cut free for free." So I got me a big old double jointed fella to help me. He was a good fella. Old guy. We went down on the very first day. Now the first day we cut.
No.
We cut 20 feet more log scale than all the other four saws put together. Well, he thought that was awful something he ever seen. He said, "I've never seen nobody could cut logs like that." I said, "Well," I said, "you can't judge anybody by looking at it." Well, he said, "You've cut 20 feet more scale and eight other men. So two of you's cut more than eight men." I said, "Well, that don't make any difference." I said, "If you're not satisfied, you don't know." "Oh," he said, "I want you back every day." And I took right on to work for them. I had never seen them before, but I worked for them till they cut out, moved. They wanted me to go with them, but I didn't. But that's the way it went, you see. If I ever worked for a fella one time, well, I didn't have to ever go back anymore without, you know, I could go right on to work. Made them, how many he had, he'd get you out of some of them and let me have it. Move right on in, take over. But the reason of that, I cut so many, I cut such a volume till they couldn't accept any other thing. Now that was just, I cut them so right and so many of them till they just couldn't get over it. They just didn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. Well, man, Henry Temple sent a man right out yonder to sit out on Buttermilk Rope. We cutting out there. Him wrote the scaling for us. And it was real good timber. Now it was good timber. Men always cutting 20 and 25,000 every day. Well, it just crowded them saws to death to get 10,000, any of them. The best saws could barely get to 10,000. Well, they went in there and they, bunch of them, and they told Mr. Temple that rope was getting scale. He said, "Now they just ain't cutting that much, and we know they're not." "Well," he said, "it's on the sheet that the log count and the scale is on the sheet." "Yeah, but," he said, "there's something fishy." But I said, "We cut logs just as hard as they do, but we don't get half as much as they do." Well, he got a little old fella and sent him out there. We didn't know what he was even out there for. He come to where we men are. He was cutting, and he stood around. But I noticed him every little bit. He'd pull out every time we'd start on a big tree. You know, he'd look at a stopwatch. He had a stopwatch, and he turned that watch on. He'd stand around and hold it and watch. And when a tree'd fall, he'd look at that watch. when we cut the trip, he still looks at the watch, and he turned around and writes, I don't know what he was writing down, but he'd write something down. Now, we didn't even know what he was doing out there. But he stayed out there 5 days with us, and we cut above 20,000 every day. And the roaches would knock us off first. We was the first one to be knocked off. He'd get us about 12, and the rest of them just as he'd get to them, the other five, six off. In the temple called me and told me he would come out on the porch one day, see me out there, and said, come in the office here a minute. I said, I want to talk to you. I said, all right. I went in there. But he said, I got a good report on y'all out there cutting. I said, I've been hearing a lot of going on about y'all getting something gift to you. He said, I don't believe a word of it. I said, well, Mr. Temple, I said, we're not asking for anything. I said, we're fair about it. We want to do what's right about it. But I said, you've got a man out there now that'll, if we cut it, we get it. I said, he gives this. I said, he treats everybody alike. I said, you don't have any gripe. Well, he said, I know it. I said, I asked that fella that I sent out there last week, said he checked on you every day for 5 days. And said, he told me if you would cut a full 6 hours like you cut maybe 30, 40 minutes at a time when you first file your saw and get started there. And if you'd cut full 6 hours like that, you'd halfway log the mill. That you would go up right around 70 or 80, 90,000. He said, don't see how he turned it on like that. I said, well, we take every advantage and we know how. We keep our tools in good shape. We keep good tools to work with. And I said, we just know how to do it. Well, he said, I believe it. And boy, from then on, we had it in our favor. From then on, something went wrong, all I had to do was just call Mr. Temple. He'd change it. He'd change it in a hurry. Same way with Mr. Arthur Temple. Anytime something goes wrong, he says, I'm still the boss now. If something goes wrong, did you come tell me? I said, well, if you want to know something about it, going on out there, I said, just call me. I said, I'll keep up with it. I said, I'm not no stranger out in the woods. I said, I know what I'm doing and I know how to do it. And I said, if I work for you, I'll do it like you want it done where you can make money out of it. I said, you're paying me to do it right. And he'll tell you now, if you go see Mr. Temple tomorrow, if you ask him if I could cut logs, he said, well, I'll trust him further than anybody that I know. And if he can't do it right, then nobody can. So you see, and I made a believer out of them. And they know that I'll do it right if I'm going to do it at all. And these fellas jumps up overnight, thinks they can cut logs. Well, they ain't no log cutter. They don't know what they're doing. They're just cutting. They want to cut some trees down and cut them up in pieces. But they get it all mixed up. They don't look at what they're doing. You see, there's more to log cutting than just cutting logs. You're supposed to make the man some money out of it if you're going to cut logs. You can make him or break him. Now, the lumber that he's getting $150 a thousand for it, if you cut it in such a shape that he gets about $80, $90 for it, you see there how much he's losing on that same lumber? That's the same tree. Now, that's by not knowing what you're looking at, what you're doing. That's the reason I never had any trouble ever since I was 10 years old. Well, I knew about pine timber. I knew about it and I studied it and I know all about pine timber in East Texas. I know everything there are to know about it. I know what to look for. And I know when I walk up to a tree to cut it, I know exactly what it looks like when it's going to hit the ground. 9 of them out of 10, I know just how it's going to hit the ground. I know what it's going to do. I don't have to guess. I don't have to wait and see where it's going to fall or nothing. I know where it's going to fall. I never did practice much till the last 15, 20 years. Got to cutting all these shade trees and things. Maybe I would just have a small place for a tree to fall. Maybe it would touch on each side and the top of it would hit something. You had to see how long it was to see if you had enough room. May have to cut the stump up 4 or 5 foot high to make it short enough to come inside of your target that you was cutting to maybe another house to keep from hitting that house. And it would be hitting the fence over here and the fence over there. Now, you couldn't let it go this way, and you couldn't let it go that way, and it couldn't be too long. You had to count, you had to know how long it was. And so you see, there's more to than cutting a tree and just looking at it. They seen that fella cut a tree on TV, and he went out there and had a fella set up 2 posts way out there, 10 feet apart. Well, that fella threw the tree between. I said, well, now what was the use of all that? Why didn't he just walk out there and stick up his walking stick and go back and throw it on that walking stick? I said, that wouldn't have been any worse. I said, why didn't he just stick up a little stick there or just lay down something there, a foot or two long, and just throw it on that? I've been cutting wood trees. Pick up a 2-foot block and walk out 30 feet in front of another tree and lay it down and throw it right on top of it. So it would be up off the ground. When you can do that, you pretty well know what the trees are going to do. They set up some posts at a fair in Livingston. And cut them down, and they stuck up stakes for you to throw them on. Who could throw them the closest get the $50. Well, they put mine out there. They put these stakes 30 feet high, and they put the stake 29 foot, or just a foot from the top of it. Well, if you went just there a little bit either way, well, you'd miss that stake. It was just a small 6-inch tree up there, a pole, you know. Well, if you throwed it just there a bit either way, well, it'd miss that stake. You had to, if you're going to hit the stake, you had to aim right. Well, they put them up there, and everybody cut his tree. Some of them missed them that far, and some of them that far. Mine hit it, hit right on top and drove it in the ground. I got the $50. See, I beat them out of that. That's the last time they'd let me do that. Chopping, they would be 3, 4, and 5 minutes chopping a 10 or 11 inch log or two, and I could last, and I cut it legs to 11 inches, and I could, or 13 inches big, and I cut it in 2 and 11 seconds with an axe. The next fella tell me was 5 minutes and 20 seconds, and I cut the whole thing in 2 and 13 seconds. I didn't get no money. He got all the money because they wouldn't let me enter the contest. Because they knew I was going to walk off with the $50. And there wouldn't be nobody else trying. That's the way it come out. But I knew what I was doing. I didn't guess at anything. I still don't. When I go cut a tree, I don't guess it's going to do this or guess it's going to do that. I know what it's going to do. I don't guess about these trees. I know about them. Anybody that I've ever cut a tree for, well, they want me to come back and cut some more if they got any.
Okay, that's enough.